You're listening to RTE Lyric Live.
In this year of the bicentenary of the birth of Johann Strauss, I am delighted to be chatting to Karen Murray, violinist based in Vienna, but from Cork originally. And Karen was recently invited to take part in a very important symposium, an international Johann Strauss symposium in Shanghai. So Karen, what I'm very interested in is the fact that on your trip to Shanghai, and indeed on a recording that we might get a chance to play, you play on a violin that belonged to Johann Strauss. I'm looking forward to hearing how that came about, that you got the violin, and indeed how the invitation to go to Shanghai came about.
Well, the University of Zhongtong University in Shanghai, Professor Wang from the Arts and Humanities Department reached out to Vienna, and it was through Byron Yui, who was our pianist, who was Chinese. He organized a tour to Shanghai to mark the celebration of Johann Strauss. So we took off in October, and we stayed there for about 10 days. And this was an international Johann Strauss symposium. And so we had two very, very intense days of lectures. And my topic there was Johann Strauss, the violinist, and Stehgeiger. Now, Stehgeiger is all about the standing violinist who doesn't just conduct, but also leads as a solo violinist, if you like. And this tradition really started, I suppose, with Josef Lanner. And then who was pre-Strauss time with the Lendler. And then the Strauss family, Johann Strauss the first, his father, he started more or less the Stehgeiger tradition in the ballroom. So the music and dance has always been very closely combined. And then the Johann Strauss son, he continued this unbelievable tradition that you really will only find in Vienna for the waltzes. And I think when he was playing and conducting in the ballroom, he had a lot of sense for what worked in the composition for the dancers and how society reacted to his music, to his compositions. And in China, you know, this was really to strengthen the ties as well between Austrian music, which they really love in China, and China. The level was very, very high from the professors there. They spoke about Johann Strauss from very different angles, through film, theatre, philosophy, about his family. There was an amazing assessment of Frühlingsstimmen, like the Frühlingsstimmen, the voices of spring, translated between the language, the mentality, and how the composition came together. And what's very unique about Johann Strauss as well is that you can dance to this music, or you can play it in concert form. And you know, it's that there's a lot of, I suppose, a lot of uniqueness and a lot of layers to his compositions.
And that image that we have when we've seen photographs of the ballrooms and the orchestra with Johann Strauss leading from the violin as a Stehgeiger, that's a very significant one. And in those photographs, or in those drawings, paintings that we've seen, it could very well be this Amati violin from 1615 that you have played on so often and that you are so bonded with.
Absolutely. He composed the Blue Danube Waltz on this Amati violin, and the Amati violin is from 1615 and can be visited in Vienna at his apartment, and his Bösendorfer as well from the late 1800s is also there, and his desk where he composed his works is also there.
And Karen, tell me, how did you come to be associated with this violin?
Well, how it started really was when I first came to Vienna, I played and was trained by Viennese musicians to play Damenkapelle. Now, Damenkapelle during my first years. It's a very Viennese tradition, which was created in Vienna by Ines Prohaska in 1872. About five players, all women with beautiful long dresses, and they performed Johann Strauss music at restaurants, and then it grew throughout the years and is very, very popular still. And some of my colleagues who I studied with had invited me to start playing second violin so I'd get a feel for the ensemble. So we were piano, first, second violin, flute, clarinet, and sometimes viola as well, depending on the group and where we were. So that was really my beginning. And I have to say, I was hooked. I was completely hooked. And then I did about 14 tours to Asia with Damenkapelle groups, whereas playing then Stehgeigerin. So I got to play solistically, I got to conduct and really communicate with my audiences as well. I thought that was amazing. And then what happened after that, a few years later, I was invited to by the University of Vienna for the music psychology department to take part as a lectorin for a demonstration of violins for the music psychology students there. They were to determine which was a cheap violin and which was an expensive violin. And it was a violin dealer who came and visited Vienna. So there was a lecture given about Stradivari, Amati violins. And so I participated in that, and we went through the list from the beginning of very cheap violins to Stradivari, Guarinieri, Del Gesù. And so this was my work as lectorin, and the violin dealer came and said, you know, we just got back the Johann Strauss violin, and it's going to be donated to Vienna from a Chinese businessman. And this Chinese businessman owned a lot of businesses in the Isle of Man. And he felt that it was time to donate the violin, the Johann Strauss violin, back to Vienna. And he came with a certification from 1911 to state that this, in fact, was the Amati violin belonging to Johann Strauss, the waltz king.
Your work with the Viennese musicians to get into the style of the Viennese waltz. Tell us what's so special about the Viennese waltz.
Well, there are many layers to the Viennese waltz. And first of all, what I'd like to say, Johann Strauss' music and his waltzes especially relate to us all. It brings out the humanity in us, and there's something in us that just really, really connects. It's happy music as well. And there are so many layers. So it starts out with an introduction, which is a bit more symphonic than the regular waltz from other compositions. And then it flows nicely into a waltz. The waltz pulse by the second violin and cello and viola sometimes as well, even by woodwind, it's 1-2 and maybe 3. It's not always 1-2-3, 1-2-3, it's 1-2 and maybe 3.
That little lift kind of that we, I don't know, it just gives you sort of an energy, doesn't it? That little lift
exactly.
Before the third beat. And the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra on our New Year's Day programmes, it just seems to be in their bones.
Absolutely. And, you know, they also play with the Wiener Horn. So the horn player is not, it's not the usual horn that we know from the classical world. It's the Wiener Horn, which you can only learn in Vienna. And then, of course, the colouring also with the Wiener Oboe. These two instruments make they create a different colouring to the sound of Vienna as well. And really, Johann Strauss' music is built on the mentality and how the music breathes. And it's very reflective of the mentality, the language, and also the accent in the language, the Wiener Klang as well. And of course, it goes back to Josef Lana's time, first of all, who was composing more folk music. And in Ireland as well, with folk music, I think we have a lot of great tunes due to the landscape where we are living, the mentality, the language itself, the rolling hills. And I would say it's the same for Johann Strauss music.
It's very interesting that as an Irish person in Vienna, you became so involved in Viennese music. Do you think that your Irish heritage, your Irish affiliation to, we'll say, dance music or whatever, was part of that?
So I think definitely regarding growing up with dance music and the mentality behind the dance and playing the music, Cayleys, they're all very connected to folks music. And this is actually how Josef Lana also started this tradition, which then led, this was pre-Strauss time, which then led to Johann Strauss, his development. I think somebody growing up in Ireland with Irish and dance music and understanding that the mentality has everything to do with the tunes, how they come to play and how they are developed and how the tunes are composed. That was a very, very close relation to Johann Strauss music, for sure. Also in the polkas, I am writing a book at the moment which will be published very soon, The Celtic Virtuoso. And I started out with the Top of Moyle polka. And I see a lot of similarities in the polka from Johann Strauss as well, with the pulse and the tradition of music and dance. Music and dance, they belong together. They can't be separated, really. And I can just imagine when Johann Strauss was standing as a conductor, as a violinist in the ballroom, how much he could really observe the people in society here in Vienna, how they danced, what worked, what didn't, how he could sharpen his compositions in the end to make it work. And that was very interesting for me to talk about as well in Shanghai at the university.
And you have actually, even though you're classically trained, obviously, and work as a classical musician, but you have brought this Celtic virtuoso idea into your own teaching.
I have indeed. I've been teaching Celtic virtuoso for a very long time. And through those years of teaching Celtic music to international students, they've had the opportunity to perform at St. Patrick's Day events every year in Vienna. So I've worked very closely with the Irish Embassy in Vienna. And what's really important for them is to be connected to other cultures. And, you know, a lot of my international students, they are based here for three or four years through the embassies, through the UN. And so some of them graduate here as well. So what we do provide is concerts in our classes for them to play Celtic music, for them to play Johann Strauss music, classical music. We provide concert platforms for them. And what's been very, very good for them is that they've been able to use this for their applications for going to university, especially in the US, because in the US they look for the extracurricular activities. So we worked very, very closely with the Irish Embassy and to make all of that happen, and the OSCE people and also the American Embassy. I've had many of our international students perform there as well. And it's been fabulous to put on their resume. And we continue this work online and live as well today. And we love what we do. And it's one way of giving back and helping our students to stay with their music as well.
When you were in Shanghai, Karen, you met with some young students via the Shanghai Conservatory, and I gather you taught them some Irish tunes.
I did indeed. So how that came about was David Murphy, who is the Consul General, the Irish Consul General in Shanghai, he attended our concerts. And after the second concert, we were invited by the Austrian ambassador as well to go for some Austrian food. So we travelled, I think, 1 hour outside Shanghai to find Austrian food. So it was hilarious. And so we spoke there and Consul General Murphy asked me, you know, he said, on the 3rd of December, he said, we have an anniversary, which is 25 years of the Irish consulate in Shanghai, and we're going to have a celebration. And if I would have any students who could maybe perform or... And I said to him, by chance, I'm going to be holding masterclasses for the Shanghai music students on the 17th of October. And I said, I'd love to be able to bring in my Celtic program. I said, because from my experience with my Chinese students who I teach here in Vienna, they absolutely love it. I think it's also the pentatonic scale and the history behind it and behind Irish music. And so I prepared five students, two cellists, three violinists to come now on the 3rd of December to play at the Consul General in Shanghai on the 3rd of December. And they'll play the Top of Muel Polka, the Drowsy Maggie and the Monaghan Jig.
Oh, I see, you had some fun doing that.
Absolutely. And I use my method from my book, which is coming out, because it's really for classically trained violinists who have no connection yet to Irish music and how to make it dance music in the end.
And you've called that the Celtic virtuoso. Cork to Vienna to Shanghai and back again. Karen Murray,
absolutely,
thank you very much for sharing your stories with us today, and all the very best with your Celtic virtuoso and the music of Johann Strauss.
Thank you very much for having me, and greetings to Cork. I'm tearing up here. Thank you.
You're listening to RTE Lyric Live.